Yeah, so we can open our Bibles to John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. After 2 days, he departed for Galilee, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus had spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us clearly in your word. And Father, as we come to your word this afternoon, we pray that may you work by your spirit to heal us from hardness of heart, that we may receive your word with obedience and gladness. May you work in our hearts, Father, to receive the truth of your word and to be rebuked where we need to be rebuked, encouraged where we need to be encouraged. And Father, we commit our time in your hands. Through Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Well, friends, if you have been around over the past few weeks, as we have been looking at this part of John's Gospel, we have seen that John is recording these stories to help us understand that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. And he is the Savior, not just of Jews, but he is the Savior of the whole world. And we saw this through the way Jesus interacts with different people. We saw that initially Jesus offers this opportunity for new birth to Nicodemus, a Jewish religious teacher. We saw that he offers eternal life, what he calls living water, to a nobody, this woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. And in today's story, we are going to see that Jesus offers life to this dying son of a Roman official. And most likely this Roman official was a Gentile official working in Herod's palace. Friends, the point is this: no one is beyond salvation. No one is beyond reach by the Messiah, by Jesus. Anyone who comes to Jesus in faith, trusting him, believing in him, can have life. While this is true, the focus of today's passage is also at what kind of faith is Jesus looking for. We heard in last week's passage that God is gathering worshipers who are going to worship him in truth and in spirit. What does that look like? What is the motivation of our faith as we come to Jesus? That's going to be one of the big questions we are asking today. What is the reason for our belief of our faith? This word belief or faith is a very important word in John's Gospel, or probably in the whole Bible. But in our passage today, you see it appearing over and over. So I'm just going to read a few places where it's appearing just right across our passage. In verse 48 of chapter 4, "So Jesus said to him, 'Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.' Verse 50, Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. In verse 53, at the end of the passage, the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live," and he himself believed, and all his household. Believe, faith, it's the same word, and it's coming right across our passage. And what kind of faith, what kind of belief in him is Jesus seeking after? My prayer is that we are going to see that faith that is based on miracles or signs is not commended, while true faith, saving faith, is based on the knowledge of who Jesus is, not just what amazing things he can do for us. So firstly, let's look at this idea that a miracle-based faith is not commendable as people come to Jesus in our story today. Well, we know that Jesus has now made his way to Galilee. If you still remember the map we had up there a few weeks ago, he's made it up to Galilee where he was heading. And Galilee is his hometown, which is why he makes this statement, which is recorded in verse 44. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his hometown. So he's back in his hometown, and this statement, John reminds us of this, that Jesus had talked about. But again, remember how he left Judea to start his journey up back to Galilee. He had left because attention has grown, and the Pharisees had realized that Jesus was baptizing many disciples, and he just left, and we then met him in Samaria. But when he gets to Galilee, we are told that he's welcomed, probably a very warm welcome from the people of Galilee. And I know you, as you are reading, you probably won't stop to think much about this, but this should be a bit of a surprise, how they are welcoming him so well, yet he's just said a prophet when he goes to his hometown, he's not received well. So what is going on here? Is the proverb not applicable here? Why do we have this proverb that Jesus gives, that a prophet has got no honor in his hometown, and we realize Jesus is going into his hometown, Galilee, and we are told that they are receiving him, his own people. But remember, these are his people where he has grown, people who knew him, and the people who treats this prophet without honor. These are the people among whom he's performed his first miracle at Cana that we saw in chapter 2 when Mitch was preaching. And it seems back then it had little effect on them. Now they seem to receive him well. What is going on? Is this genuine welcome of Jesus, understanding who he is? Is this true faith that the Galileans are exhibiting? Are they receiving him with knowledge of who Jesus is? Well, friends, that seems not to be the case here. We are told that this warm welcome was based on the signs that they had seen in Judea at the feast in Jerusalem down there. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast. And it was only after seeing those things that they are responding to him in the way they are today. So in verse 46 of our passage today, we are told that so he came into Cana in Galilee, where he had made water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. See, this son was at the point of death. Death was looming, death was around. And who can give him life? We are not told the name of this official, but the term used there, it simplifies that he was a Roman official, someone who was working in the high places, and in that context, most likely it was Herod's palace where he was serving. And that would be a title or a job given to a Gentile person. The man what we know about this man is that he was in need, and this need was urgent because an official of his caliber, he could have just sent someone to Jesus to convey the message, but he came in person to see Jesus. This was serious. And he wanted to beg Jesus, to ask Jesus to come down to Capernaum and heal his son. How did Jesus respond? Jesus says in verse 48, Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." Jesus responds, it's like a rebuke. It's not very clear in our English Bibles, but again, the word "you" there, unless you see signs, you will not believe. The "you" that is there is actually a plural, like unless you all see signs. So you need to see that Jesus, in answering him, is actually addressing a wider group. He's actually addressing the Galileans. Unless you Galileans see signs, you will not believe. You see, their faith, their coming to Jesus, their welcome of Jesus, was faith based on signs and wonders. It was based on what Jesus could do, not who Jesus was. And friends, that can be dangerous, even today, to have your faith in Jesus based on what he can do for you, not who he is, not what his word says. You see, in John's gospel, these signs or wonders or miracles, John likes to use the word signs for them. And it's interesting that he uses this term, because a sign, I think we all know a sign or a signpost. You know, if you're coming into Blawayo from Jobek, where do you find the sign for welcome to Blawayo? Is it somewhere down in Kensington, right? Before you actually get into the city, you see the sign, "Welcome to Blawayo." So imagine this. Someone is coming from Mashingo or from Jobek. They're coming to Blawayo, and they come to that sign, and they see, "Welcome to Blawayo." And then they stop the bus and say, "No, stop, 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 stop. I want to get down." And they get off the bus, and they marvel at the sign. This is a beautiful sign. It was painted well, it was made well, it's looking good. This is a very good sign of welcome to Blawayo. And then they hang around the sign, maybe for a few hours, they take selfies at the sign, and then they wait for another bus going back to Mashingo. They get on that bus and they go back to Mashingo and they say, "I've been to Blawayo." What do you think? It's crazy. They've just been to the sign, "Welcome to Blawayo," but they think they've seen it all. This is it. Oh, Blawayo is so beautiful. You see, the danger of stopping at a sign is that a sign is only there to point you to something else, not to end on the sign. And that is true with miracles, friends. There are signs for pointing us to a greater reality about Jesus. This sign is just telling you that you are entering into the city of Blawayo. You still have got another 20 k's or so to travel. I don't know how long it is from Kensington to the city center, but you've got about 20 k's to get to the heart of Blawayo, to see the streets of Blawayo, to see the cuisine that is served in Blawayo. You still got to travel a bit more. You can't stop at the sign and think you have seen it all. Miracles, signs in the Gospel of John, they are there to point us that there is a greater reality. There is something great. It's about Jesus. And it seems the Galileans, they are failing to see that. They are marveling at the sign. They are thinking this is great, and they are putting their faith right there. Signs will help us to see that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the Son of God, the divine word as he saw at the beginning of this book, the one who gives life, the one who reveals God and God's glory, all those kind of things. The signs are supposed to point us into that greater reality, so that we put our trust in Jesus, not in the sign. But the Galileans were obsessed with signs. They loved signs and wonders. They are accepting him because of what they have seen him doing in Jerusalem at the feast. It's a selfish kind of faith where you come to Jesus because of the amazing things he can give you, he can do for you. It's a limited kind of faith because you are only trusting Jesus based on the sign, but you are not going on to understand the fullness of Jesus the Messiah, the fullness of Christ and who he is. It's a transactional kind of faith where you are trusting him for what he can exchange and get. This kind of faith is not approved by Jesus. That's why he rebukes straight away, not just the official standing before him, but he rebukes in plural the Galileans for this faith. And I pray as Living Hope Church that our faith in Jesus may be based on our understanding of who Jesus is truly, not just on the things he can do for us. Many Christians in our context, here in Zimbabwe and here in Africa, their Christianity is based on signs and wonders. I've seen people who are following prophet after prophet, seeking for a sign, seeking for a wonder. If they hear that there's another one here who can tell you your ID number without you telling him, they go to that one. Then there's another one here who can, you know, do this, they follow that one. But are we understanding Jesus? Jesus says, unless you see a sign, you not believe. So this sign, miracle-based faith is not commended, friends. But true faith, which is our second point today, is based on understanding Jesus and his identity. While the official is included in the rebuke at the beginning, it seems his faith is growing. It seems he's making progress. As we read the rest of the story, just like that Samaritan woman we saw last week, she made progress in her understanding of Jesus. And at the end, she assumes, oh, maybe this is the Messiah. And again, it seems the same things happened to this official. In verse 49, the official said to him, "Say, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. You see, Jesus does not come down with him to Capernaum, something visible that he could see. Jesus does not get to this man's house to get into the house, maybe touch the boy or tie something to physically assure him that I'm doing something about it. He just speaks a word, "Go, your son will live." Guess what? The official believes that. He trusts that. Without seeing anything, without seeing Jesus walking with him, or Jesus giving something, go and give him this water, or maybe go and tie this wristband on his hand or something, he just says go, and he goes. He has made so much progress to trust Jesus just on a word. And he walks back home. Verse 51, as he was going down home, his servants met him and they told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. He realized that it was at 1 o'clock, the seventh hour, when Jesus had spoken to him. That was the very same time that his son recovered. But he didn't know it. He had not seen it. Only when he got to meet his servants. There were no cell phones at that point for them to text him or to WhatsApp him and say, he is already getting better. He could have maybe jumped in front of Jesus. But he didn't know. He just trusted Jesus on his word. And he realizes that indeed, what Jesus spoke actually happened, and confirms that it's Jesus who healed the son from a distance by his word. Isn't that encouraging that we worship the same Jesus today, who can heal from a distance, who can heal just by a word? He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now, but he can heal you from that distance. And it is remarkable that this man just believed. A gentleman, a Roman official, who knew little about Jesus, but he trusted his word. Do you see how his faith stands out from the rest of the Galileans now? They were coming for a visible sign. They were coming to trust Jesus only because they had seen something. But this man now, he trusts Jesus because Jesus has spoken, not because he's seen Jesus walking down or doing something to assure him. His faith stands out. But also remember what we saw last week, the Samaritans. And they are in view here as we see the faith of the Galileans. Because they put the Galileans to shame. The Samaritans had not seen a miracle. They had this woman coming from the wall telling them about about what she had seen. They came to Jesus and heard his own testimony. And they believed in Jesus. They discerned that he was not an ordinary man. In verse 42 of chapter 4, which we saw last week, they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, but we have heard ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world." These are Samaritans. They have heard Jesus speak, and they discern, they understand that this is the Savior. He's not an ordinary man, just from his words. Friends, can we take Jesus just at his word? Is our faith based on understanding who Jesus is? His love for us, his power to save, his ability to offer us eternal life, life that has meaning, life that keeps flowing, like he says in his word. Not just coming to God, trusting Jesus because we think he can give me the job that I want, the marriage that I want, the career path that I want to choose, the promotion that I so much long for at work. Yes, those are good things. God can give us those things, but our faith has to depend on something better. I get so worried when I see signs or flyers inviting people to crusades and conferences. And they say, "Come, it will be the night of your life, the night of turnaround, the night of deliverance. Your marriage is going to be fixed, your job issue is going to be fixed, your health is going to be, come to this conference." Miracle-oriented faith is not commended by Jesus. Jesus rebukes the Galileans for such a faith. How I pray that we will be like Abraham. He was old. Sarah was old. They were barren. They had not had children. Yet when God said to him, "I will give you many children," he trusted God on that word. And we are told he became the father of faith. Friends, we need to trust Jesus on his word, like that official. When there is nothing else to hold on to, can we trust his word to be true? And we need to see the danger of chasing what the eye can see, chasing after miracles and signs. Yes, they are good if they are pointing us to the bigger reality. But when it ends on the miracle, when our faith is based only on what we can get physically from Jesus, we are going to lose out a lot about what the Messiah, who the Messiah really is. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have chosen to reveal yourself in your word. We thank you that your word is the word that was there at the beginning, the word that brought all the creation to being. We thank you that your word has been preserved for generations and we have it written in our Bibles. Father, in today's world where there is temptation to only trust that which is tangible, that which we can see with our eyes, may you help us, Father, to trust your divine word when it speaks about who you are. As a church, may you grow us in our trust in you and our trust in your word. Amen.
Thanks to Wanda William.